Doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest, and the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
Second down and three. Brady in the gun from the Ram 31. Shotgun snap. Arches a pass down the near sideline. Over the shoulder. Diving catch at the five. Gronkowski down to the two. Falls. He was double teamed. Down the sideline. It's a pickup of 29. First and goal to go. New England. What a catch by Gronkowski.
First and goal at the two. I formation. Brady under center. Spins. Hands off Michelle. The block by Devlin. The run over the left guard. Touchdown, New England. The game's first touchdown with seven to play in the fourth. And the Patriots have gone on top. 9-3 over the Rams.
I'm confident that we'll be world champions. That's what I've said right from the start, and I'm still confident of that.
You're simply the best.
Duh. Winning.
Super Bowl homeboy.
Off is in the gun. 27 of the Patriots. Second down and 10. Belt high. Snap and a line drive pass down the near sideline. Intercepted. A leaping two-handed interception at the five. Stephon Gilmore, the all-pro quarterback, has just intercepted the Rams quarterback, Jared Goff. And it couldn't have come at a better time for the Patriots. 4:17 to go in the game. 41 in New England. I formation with Burkhead. Brady is under center. Second down, seven. Handoff Burkhead. Had a block from Devlin. That springs him through 45. 50 down the middle he goes. 45 breaks the tackle. 40 breaks the tackle. 35 down the middle he goes to the 31-yard line of the Rams. Oh, that could be a big run. That could be a Super Bowl winning run.
You're simply the best.
What do you think of my defense now?
Down to the long snap, put down by Allen, the right footed kick, end over end, it sneaks in, and it is good. Sneaks in through the left upright, and it puts the Patriots on top with 1:12 to go, 13-3 over the Rams. Brady under center, victory formation, takes the snap, falls to an E, and that'll do it. The New England Patriots have won. The Patriots, their second Super Bowl championship in the last 3 years. And they have tied an NFL record. Tied the Pittsburgh Steelers with 6 Super Bowl championships. Belichick will win his 6th Super Bowl as the head coach. Number 1, as the confetti flies, the colors are silver, blue, and red. The Patriots have won Super Bowl 53.
You know, I didn't like the way we were playing in sack, so I just told him, hey, you're going to live and die with me. Y'all, don't nobody like it. Sit your ass down right here. Don't come out here, but we coming through me. You know, that's why I like Sam to come in. You know, I let them do their things for 3 quarters, come 4th quarter, bring it to the ticket.
No, no. Maybe I was forever.
find enough highlights to fill a 3.5 minute song out of that big game. How many times did you play the lone touchdown over and over and over again?
Well, I had to play the field goal.
Boy,
by Gostkowski.
Those are exciting on a montage, aren't they?
I had to play a 26-yard run by Rex Burkhead. I had to play the Gronkowski catch.
Well, how's that? Because I thought defense didn't matter anymore in the NFL, and all you had to do.
Brilliant.
I don't need any more emails, and I appreciate all of you that wanted to verbally, and well, not just verbally. I guess not. I'll probably get slapped on the back verbally today via email. I was inundated. I had hundreds of emails at comment@kfan.com saying, Common, you are all seen. You are Noster Commonus. You are, forget Tony Romo being a, did you see Romo last night too? Because everybody spent the last 2 weeks talking about how he can see the play before it happens. Now, has he always done that? Every single play he's trying to call, it's like, Tony, we're happy for you. You got lucky 2 weeks ago and nailed 4 or 5 calls. Now he's trying to do it, and he kept missing them.
Yeah, he did.
It was always...
He had a bad night.
He had a bad night, so just stop it. And it's Nance's fault, because he's the one that was calling him Roman Ominous or whatever he was calling him. Just stop it already. He should be able to see a play or two because he played pro football. And look at all the Super Bowl appearances, all the playoff wins. If Tony could recognize plays as well as he does now, if he could have recognized him when he's playing as well as he does now, he may have won a playoff game or two. I'm just getting so... That's not what I want from analysis. I'm sorry. I don't want to have him trying to predict every play. Because in that last winning drive, he called it wrong each time.
Yeah.
So then he tried to call three. He might go here, he might go there, he might go there. Yeah, we all know that. You only have so many options. You have a tight end, a couple of wide receivers, and a running back. So he called the number for every guy. Might hand off here, might go to Gronk down the seam, or he might go to Edelman on a zigzag route. It's like, okay, we all think the same thing.
Yeah, he's really smart when it's 3rd and 7. He goes, watch for Edelman over the middle here.
Yeah.
Wow, never.
Yeah.
I never would have saw that coming.
I would never have saw Edelman over the middle. And
that being said, I thought he was brilliant last week. I thought he was really, really good. The problem he has that I like him. He's different. He's unique. And
right.
he is able to see things before and point things out to you. The problem is, though, if he's not right, he doesn't bring a lot of else.
No.
To the broadcast. I mean,
no.
That's kind of all he has.
Yeah.
So when he's wrong, then it's not a very good broadcast.
Yeah, and then he threw the production crew under the bus the one time. Did you hear that? Apparently his mic wasn't on. I didn't even know. I'm busy heating up chili. Deuce and I are gonna have chili that potato had made earlier. And all of a sudden he goes, yeah, I had some great insight there, but my mic wasn't working. And I'm like, well, why do you throw them on? No one would have noticed. You're not that intriguing. That we, oh, I wonder what Tony
like,
is.
You would never throw your producer under the bus over
never.
A mistake he makes.
I would never do anything like that. It'd be the last thing I would do. But anyways, I was inundated. People, I mean, how about that? I have to admit, it feels good. Because I was getting ripped by everyone. Oh, yeah. What do you think now with the top 4 offenses in the NFC-AFC championship game? Boy, you sure got egg on your face. Want to eat some crow? When's the apology segment? Number 1 offense, Rams, right? This year?
Were they number 1?
Yeah, I think they were number 1.
I think that's right.
New England was top 4. I don't know where they were, if they were 2, 3,
New
or
England
4.
New England was 4th out of the 4.
Lowest.
Is it the Rams or Chiefs for number
lowest
one?
Scoring big game ever. 13-3. No offense. See the quarterback ratings for those two guys?
And of the 4 teams that had the best offense entering the postseason, mm-hmm. the one with the best defense won the big game.
That is correct. Because defense wins championships. Yeah. So hopefully we'll dispense with all the nonsense of, don't even worry about fielding a defense anymore. Because it's offense. It's going to be up and down the field and high flying. And you can't even stop them. All you can try to do is contain them. I mean, the 2 quarterback ratings combined was like a high school basketball score.
It was bad.
What were they? Like 75 and 57?
Yeah.
It's like a Gopher game against Purdue. Well, even the Gophers kept it closer than that. Yeah, it was. And I actually have mixed. You know me, I love defense. But I think some of that was just bad offense.
There was some bad offense.
I think there was some bad offense.
Yep.
I don't think it was pure, wow, two great defense. Like, it was almost like the Steel Curtain had been resurrected and they were playing the Purple People Eaters. There was two great defenses out there, but...
Tom Brady did not look like what we normally see out of him. That first interception was all him.
I think he's done. I do. I think he is done.
I always love that.
But yeah, it certainly was... But you've heard me say I like when a 20. And it's funny because wasn't the pass to Gronk 27 yards? I think that's the example I always use. Is I want a 27 yard pass play to be like a big deal. That's what I like seeing in football. I don't want to see like he only got 27 on that, but 13, 14 plays we've already had 40, 50, 60 yards per play. So I kind of liked it.
I like the chess game portion.
I do like the chess game.
Trying to solve the puzzle.
And I got into a Twitter war last night. Well, I didn't really, but there were people that were bitter that I don't want to bow down at the, what is it, the altar that is Belichick and Shady Romo annoyed me. Enjoy it while you can. I don't enjoy it. And then I had people, you know, well, you just don't get it. You don't get it. This is once in a lifetime. It's like, okay, I've seen his you don't have to tell me that I have to enjoy it. I can appreciate it. What, do you think I'm stupid that I don't know the GOAT is the greatest of all time? That's what it stands for. Greatest of all time. And nobody can outfox Belichick or Belichick. We know that. I've seen enough of it, though. I'm already aware of it. I want somebody else. Don't you get tired of it after a while? And if you don't, that's okay. I wasn't even asking anybody. I wasn't saying there's a right or wrong. But people were trying to...
Try to tell you how you should feel about it. Yeah.
I was just saying, no, I don't... Because Romo said in that, and my tweet was, why do people feel it's necessary to tell the rest of us that we're supposed to enjoy this? I don't enjoy it. I can admire it and respect it. It is incredible. What, six? GOAT set the record. Most Super Bowl victories ever. He was tied with the Haley character, Haley, Alex Haley, whatever his name is. Six. They've been in what? Franchise has been in nine altogether. They've won six. It's remarkable. It is. Doesn't mean I have to go... Well, I think I'm going to start rooting for... No! I don't want him to ever go back to the big game again. Ever. I'm tired of that franchise. What's wrong with that? And if you don't want to be tired and you want to see him keep winning...
That's fine.
Go for it. Yeah. If you like that, if you want...
I was cheering for them last night.
Yeah.
At this point, I think it's kind of cool. Yeah. He's 41 years old and still beating up on the young guys.
And I was...
Even though he wasn't that great last night.
No, and he wasn't that great last night. It was the D. It was.
But I also get a little pleasure out of, oh, it's all the new age young coaches, and they're the next gen coaches.
Yes, I like that too.
And it's kind of nice to just have Belichick go, sit down. I'm going to show you how this is done.
Exactly. So we'll talk more about that.
And I'm not a Belichick guy.
No, I'm really not either. Well, and that's the other thing. I did see a tweet that I liked. I'll get to that. It's in relation to if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Are we still doing Grand in the Hand, too?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right. Well, before we do that, I want to tease out. We're doing Common Man Program Trivia today. Are we doing it once or twice? Because don't we have a couple of pairs, or are we just giving away one pair?
We have two pairs to give away today.
Okay.
We can maybe come up with six questions. You can do one by email if you want.
You want to do that?
Sure.
You want to go through all that work? Because I'm not going to look through all the emails. That's up to you. That's a lot of work. We have tickets to see Carlos Santana and special guest the Doobie Brothers. Santana and the Doobie Brothers at the XL Energy Center August 3rd. Program Trivia. Well, let's give away one pair for sure with Program Trivia. Maybe we'll just sneak the other one in sometime with callers.
Sure.
But we'll definitely do Program Trivia in which later on in the Grom, probably sometime around the 2 o'clock hour. No Rosen today. Around 2 o'clock or so, we'll have people call in. First person to correctly answer 3 questions regarding the Grom. The answers can be found in the body of the Grom today. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Santana and the Dubes. More goat talk. And how did I tease that? I just had a tease.
Huh?
I don't remember, but I want to. Oh. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. All of that coming up. But right now, let's try to give away a grand.
Yeah, it's the National Cash Contest. If you'd like a shot at $1,000, your keyword this hour is run. So text that keyword run to 200-200 to enter. Standard text messaging and data rates may apply. Text the keyword run to 200-200.
It's the afternoon buffoon at noon. This is the Common Man, Dan Cole, on the Fan.
Mystic Lake and the Fan want to send you and a guest to Player Up, the Midwest Amateur Esports Tournament, February 15th through the 17th. You can win spectator passes by registering at KFAN.com, keyword contest.
Is this Big Boy?
No.
Is this Moron 5? Is this a halftime performer?
No, they're not that big.
Halftime got panned. I caught it halfway through the halftime. So I missed the SpongeBob thing, but Deuce played it back for me. You know, because you can reverse your TV and go back in time, right?
And it's so called DVR, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you don't even have to record it. You can just go back. I guess it's DVR. Yeah. But, I mean, you don't even have to have it on record.
No.
A lot of shows you can just go back. So he showed it to me. The people I trust, the reviews I read panned the halftime performance. I didn't see anybody rave about it. It basically said it was just basically blah, or is it meh? Do the kids say meh?
Yeah.
Now, what'd you think? I mean, that's more in your wheelhouse. I mean, you're a big Maroon 5 guy.
I guess, yeah, it's always hard to judge because on Twitter, everything is either the best thing ever or the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I kind of follow along. Yeah. So the way you described it by saying meh, yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
For people just saying, worst halftime show I've ever seen, they've all basically looked like that.
Right.
And I'll give them credit for one reason, because my biggest pet peeves with all halftime shows is they don't ever really sing. It's all about the dancing, the pyrotechnics.
Right.
And they try to make a big scene. So then they're never even singing half the time because they're running around.
Correct.
While the singing out of Adam Levine was not his best, at least he sang every word, and at least the band was playing the music live. And yeah. That doesn't happen at all the halftime shows. So I give them credit for that. I'm fine with them not doing all the big explosions.
Yeah,
and stuff
well, me
like
too.
That.
I
actually thought that was kind of refreshing.
I texted to my sister. I said, I generally don't even watch the halftime shows because usually I'm not interested in the artist. And I'm just going to get snippets of song and it's going to be dancing and explosions. And it's really not even a...
Yeah.
You know, I just, and if you like the halftime show, again, let me say this again. I'm not saying you can't enjoy. I tweeted this and I got a number of people that agree with me. I've seen better performances from street corner musicians down on Hennepin Avenue. Guy that's got his guitar case out and people are throwing loose change and he's strumming on the guitar. I've seen better performances there than I saw last night. But if you liked it, you liked the halftime show,
but I would say
knock yourself out.
Rarely. None of the halftime shows are ever any good.
No,
it's not like we've had like 6 good ones in a row, and this one was a stinker. It seemed I can't tell you the last one that I really, really enjoyed.
Yeah, I've not. I mean, everybody points to the Prince performance, "Purple Rain," and apparently it started raining right when he said "Purple Rain." Then it started to rain, and everybody thinks it was the music and the football gods looking down upon him. But you know, so I tweeted this right after Romo went with the. This was at 9:05. Romo went with the old. Boy, enjoy it while it lasts. I said, why do people feel compelled to tell everyone we have to enjoy the success of Belichick and Brady? Not everybody feels the need to idolize and pedestalize. And I had 177 responses, likes to that. Is it likes or responses?
Yeah.
And most
Well, there's
of,
a difference between replies and
right,
likes. Yeah.
The likes, the vast majority of the likes agreed with me. But there are the gadflies out there. I don't know why people want to try to get people going. They did the old... There's a difference between idolizing someone and acknowledging their greatness. When someone is a QB for 6 Super Bowl championship teams, I think there's nothing wrong with acknowledging we'll probably never see that happen again. But I don't have to win. I don't have to enjoy it though. Who said we were haven't acknowledged that? It's not what Tony was doing. Enjoy it while you can. All right. If you want to enjoy it, go ahead. But I don't feel a need to. Then someone sent this, and I tend to agree with this a little bit, Tenneby. It said, I don't understand all the media fawning over two guys nailed for cheating. Do Lance Armstrong, Barry Bonds, et cetera, get that kind of a pass? Now, we took a look at a website. Someone had sent me a link to it, you know, Your Team Cheats. And remember, we took a look at all the instances of the Minnesota Vikings allegedly cheating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it had a list for every National Football League team, anything they'd ever done that would be considered breaking the rules, right? Intentionally. And you know, I don't know. I didn't read every NFL team. I read I glanced at the Vikings, but every team had an instance, at least one, if not 13, 14, of things where they basically cheated. We know that both Brady and Belichick cheated. But they punished Brady for Deflategate, mm-hmm. right? So now he's denied it, right? He continues to deny it to this day. But I don't think there's any question they were deflating the football.
They got punished for Spygate.
And they got punished for Spygate, and that was Belichick. Or Belichick. So, and if they, and I get it. If they all do it, all right, I guess in all is fair in love and war, as the old saying goes. I know they have it in Tennessee and Texas. But it is funny how they just idolize and pedestalize these people that were busted twice for basically breaking. And we know about the headsets that go out and all this. And these were only the times that they were busted. How many times do you think Belichick has been videoing practices of other teams or bugging the visitors' locker room? Wonder why he's always a step ahead of the game, I wonder. Wonder if it's just because he's such a genius and such a mastermind. But he sure did yesterday, whether they bugged Rams' locker room or headquarters, whether they were using film that was recorded secretly, whether or not, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever find out. But they certainly, the wizard of offense, you know, the McVay character, that, boy, the new offense, nobody can keep up with them. They had no answer for whatever New England was doing. That was just an awful performance by the...
Goff was off.
Goff was off. They got to Gurley early. I saw a story that basically said they thought Goff was overwhelmed by the moment, by the big game. Maybe he was. Tim, I don't know if you heard that because you were answering the phone. I read a piece where a recap of the game last night that the writer of the piece said he thought Goff looked overwhelmed by the moment. I don't know if that's being overwhelmed by the moment. He very well could have been, but it didn't look like, it just looked like the Rams offensive line was overwhelmed by the moment. If anybody, I mean, he wasn't getting much time to throw.
Or just his receivers were overwhelmed. They weren't getting open.
They weren't getting open. The line wasn't providing a ton of protection. I don't necessarily think, well, Goff just looked like he was not ready for the moment. He's, you know, because people, that's the easy one to go with because it's such a cliche. He's young. He's never been there. It must be he performed poorly. It must be that he was overwhelmed. Maybe.
Well,
I don't think he was overwhelmed. I think it was just the offensive line was overwhelmed, and as you said, the receivers didn't get open.
Well, and I'm not a big Jared Goff guy, but one, he help them get to the big game in New Orleans, right? All right, so if you're afraid of the moments of the big game, but apparently you weren't afraid of NFC Championship game at New Orleans, that doesn't make too much sense to me. And the other aspect of it is, Goff has not been great the second half of the season.
No.
When they lost Cooper Kupp, who was one of their better wide receivers, and Todd Gurley got hurt. Todd Gurley has been playing consistently, but he... Clearly, Gurley was not the same guy in the second half of the season and in the big game as he was the first half of the season.
Correct.
So you take two massive weapons out on an offense that had, right, they were three deep at wide receiver mm-hmm. and a stud running back, and all of a sudden you don't have that elite running game behind you anymore, and you don't have your comfortable sweater to throw the ball to in Cooper Kupp anymore.
Correct.
To me, that had more to do with, I kind of went into the game going, you know, I saw what Belichick did to Thielen and Diggs. And Goff doesn't have as many weapons as he used to because Kupp's out.
Right.
So really, Belichick can shut down the two wide receivers, which he already has experience with one of them, and Brandon Cooks, because he had him last year. And they don't have the running game they once did because Todd Gurley's just, he's hurt. He's playing hurt. So to me, that had more to do, I mean, this isn't just a one-game performance out of Goff. He's been pretty bad the second half of the season.
That's, I'll give you a brilliant sticker because that's spot on. Plus, I'll tell you who the real unsung hero was, and he was on the losing club. I'll explain when we return to the Grom and the Fan.
Dan Cole, the Common Man. Weekdays at noon on the Fan.
Is this Big Boy?
No, but I'm a fan of Big Boy.
You are?
Well, he's in the group Outkast.
Okay.
He's actually my second favorite of the two, but...
Outkast is also the name of a local motorcycle. A Hell's Outkast.
Really?
A motorcycle, yeah. I mean, if you can't make Hell's Angels, if you're a Hell's Outkast, what does that say? I don't know what it says. mink coat, the Cadillac, the whole thing. I have to say, who is this? I'm sorry. It doesn't do anything for me. It's sad, really. You know what else someone pointed out to me as well on a couple of occasions, and I probably was aware of this. The Edelman character, MVP, missed the first four games of the season for performance-enhancing drugs. Let me guess, he denied it. Let me guess, he said it just ended up in a protein shake he'd been taking, right? Was that his excuse, or did he admit?
Don't remember his excuse.
Yeah. Now, did whatever performance-enhancing drugs he was busted for using, found in his system, did that help him to what he did last night? I don't know. But I saw the piece by the esteemed columnist Jimmy Suan, undrafted, small little guy, but the Patriots said we can get the most out of you. Well, if you fill a guy with PED, sure, they'll get more out of him. I don't know. Well, it's like,
Edelman said he didn't know how it happened.
Of course he didn't. Got no idea. Just appeared there. Here's another. I mean, here's I'm gonna both sides. Says Dan, stop with the hatred of the Patriots. No, I won't. I hate the Patriots. They are doing things that have never been done before. Okay, so they have. Darth Vader did things that had never been done before, and I hated him. The game's designed to keep teams from having dynasties, yet they are the greatest dynasty we've ever seen. No, they're not the greatest dynasty we've ever seen. UCLA Bruins. Didn't they win 11 NCAA championships in a row? I think they cheated, though, too. New York Yankees. That's a dynasty back in the... when they were winning World Series after World Series
Montreal
after World
Canadians.
Series. Montreal Canadiens. I'm sorry.
Well, and I will even say it during my lifetime. Now, the Patriots have done it over, what, 13, 14 years? Mm-hmm. Over a longer period of time, it's hard to compete against the Patriots.
Right.
If Michael Jordan doesn't go decide to play baseball, they're winning 8 NBA championships in a row.
Correct. I won't say you have to enjoy it, but you might be happier if you did. No, I'd be happier if they lost. I'd be delighted. And I want people to realize that this isn't keeping me up at night. You know, it's not like I'm depressed about it, need to go see counseling. It's just when I hear people talking about how I'm supposed to just enjoy it and just basically idolize and pedestalize Bell and just have nothing but wonderful things to say. Just who can come up, who can wax poetic the best about what they've done? I don't care. I'm tired of seeing them. Remember, the best way to watch football is to cheer for the team that runs in the end. Can't remember I heard that before. Yeah, that was my bit. That's just, I used to do the bit where my team wins every year because with a minute to go, I'm bandwagon. Yeah, I know it's a good bit, but it's not how I really do it. Side notes, interference is a big game. It should be the National Tom Brady Day. See, he even admits the trophy should be the Bill Belichick trophy. He has three times as many as Lombardi, and in a time of supposed...
that would get Packer fans going.
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm for it.
Yeah. Here's one that says, here, we get it. Brady and Belichick are the most accomplished QB coach in modern NFL history. It's a remarkable achievement, but I'm so bored with it. The NFL has masterfully touted itself as the ideal league for parity, and yet the Pats have been to half the big games in the 21st century. Also, my eyes were rolling so far back in my head when each and every Pats player during the postgame mentioned how everyone counted us out this year. No one believed in us. I also heard the owner state, I don't think normal fans understand how hard we work for this. Talk about conceited. We all work hard. They aren't curing cancer. The Kraft character has enough wins now. Let's see some new blood in the NFL, signed City Streets guy. And I agree with him. That's all part of this. And you know what? If you're a Patriots fan, I get why you love it and you want it to continue.
They might be bored with it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, I understand if you're a fan of the purple where you're going, we were 0-4 in the big game. You're Buffalo. You're 0-4 in the big game. I can understand why you're bitter, you know. But, and again, let me point out that I've said this and I'll say it again. I understand what they've accomplished. It doesn't take an expert or someone. Boy, I never noticed that. Thanks for pointing that out to me. They've been to 9 Super Bowls in 13, 14 years, and they've won 6 of them. I get that. They're very accomplished. Good for them. Doesn't mean matter of fact, they probably shouldn't have been there either. I tweeted that out late in the game too. I think it was the football gods intervened. They couldn't let the Rams, who shouldn't even have been there. The Saints were the team that was supposed to have been there. They couldn't let the team that wasn't supposed to have been there win the big game, right? Could you? Could the football gods allow that?
Did you see the video of the Saints fans marching the streets in protest still?
I heard
2 weeks
it.
Later.
I heard about it. How sad is that?
You've got to be kidding me.
That's really. I wonder how many are doing it just because it's fun to be, you know, go along with it. Because they all can't really be serious. I mean, what were they? Just protest? I mean, were they trying to, again, were they trying to get the
game
replayed?
You're not going to accomplish anything with your, other than you get some attention, I guess.
I think it was just an excuse to drink, right? And get together, but, and they did go with the nobody believed us stuff. And that's where, again, and that's the mentality. Maybe when you have been as successful as they are, you need something to motivate you.
They manufacture it.
Right, they manufacture. Because even, you know, Jim Nance, did Jim give Edelman his tie or did he keep it himself? He said to Brady during the post-game shenanigans celebration, he said, you know, what motivates you? And Brady looks around, this! How could you not be motivated when you see this? Okay. So that's his motivation, but that's not enough. So their motivation after winning so often has to be, let's do the old cliche, nobody believes in us. Let's circle the wagons and only the 53 guys in this locker room believe in each other. It's like, no, what people were doing was they were saying, boy, New England usually wins 13 or 14 games a year. They only won 11 this year.
They weren't as dominant in the regular season.
They weren't as dominant in the regular season. And, you know, it's like...
Kansas City looks pretty good.
And Kansas City looks good. So, yeah, I think that... See, they're so used to the idolizing and pedestalizing. They feel like if you don't go bow down, you're the greatest franchise ever. You're going to win again. You'll win every single year. If you don't do that, you're disrespecting them. Because they start to believe all this stuff now. That they can cure cancer.
Well, and I think when people pick against the Patriots, one, I think part of it is their heart, because they just don't want them to win.
Sure it is.
The other part of it is it's really boring to pick the Patriots to win.
It is.
Right? When you get all the NFL experts going into next season have their Super Bowl predictions, no one ever says Patriots versus whoever in the NFC, because it's boring. They want to be unique. They want to be the one that picks the Chiefs the year they finally make it.
Right.
It's just too easy to pick the Patriots.
That's it. It is too easy to pick the Patriots. And so it has nothing to do with counting you out or not believing in you. It's preposterous. We know. How about it's just we're just tired of you and it's wishful, like you say. Some of it's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Boy, I wish they would just be terrible and get... I mean, like last... How delicious... As much as I hated Philadelphia, I mean, that was the lesser of two evils for me. You know, because we know how dastardly Eagles fans are to visiting fans that come to their stadium, right? That's why forever, you know, they actually have a jail built into the stadium because they have to jail these unruly clowns, okay? So last year was the lesser of two evils. Do you want the evil empire to lose or do you want the team with the rotten fans to lose? And I was like, well, I'd rather see the evil empire lose, you know, because I really don't have anything against the Eagles because I don't think the Eagles franchise encourages this kind of behavior. I don't think. Maybe they do. We just don't know about it. So anyway, I'm glad the season has come to an end. And remember now, the NFL is better than any sport, I think, in the world, right? Certainly in this country, at keeping themselves in the headlines mm-hmm. 12 months out of the year. Because now there'll still be some more, you know, big game fallout, people talking about it, you know, still talking about the Hall of Fame guys, too. That conversation will continue. When is the first? Is it combines first? Before free agency and the draft,
right? Well, I'm trying to think of when the time you have to pop some tags by, too.
Yeah, that's right. So we've got transition and franchise tags. We've got combines. We've got free agency. We have the draft, and then it becomes OTAs, mini camps, training camp, and the season starts again. So there's plenty to get to, and as the confetti settles.
Yeah, so you got to pop tags by February 19th, scouting combine February 26th or March 4th. Another designation for franchise transition players by March 5th.
Okay.
Then March 11th through the 13th, you're permitted to talk to free agents.
Okay, so the free agent talking begins.
Then it's the 13th is when you can do free agents.
Right. April's the draft.
March 24th through the 27th, you have the annual league meetings. That's where all the rules changes, I'm sure, will come up.
And all the rumors are going around.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's draft.
Workout programs on April 1st with teams that hire a new head coach.
Oh, okay. They get the workout program.
But otherwise, it's April 15th for returning coaches. Then restricted free agents by April 19th. The draft, April 25th.
Right. And then when's the first?
Three-day mini camp, May 3rd through the 6th.
It's genius. I admire. See, that I admire more than the Patriots winning the Cheatriots winning six big games in the past 13 years. I'm more amazed at how well the NFL is able to keep themselves in the news day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. So, and as the confetti settles at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it's time to start turning our attention toward the local 11. Which, well, I feel like they're a long way from being anywhere on the level of the teams we saw in the Final Four. Or am I wrong there? We'll talk more about that. How close are they to being a Final Four-like club? They were there 2 years ago. I get it. I know it. It went from hashtag bring it home to hashtag watch it home. I get it. Minnesota Miracle to Philadelphia Flop. But are we closer to getting to that Final Four, or are we? And it's harder, obviously, to get to the Final Four than not make it. So you could, you know, it's just odds are, right, that you're not going to make it. But, you know, we'll dig into the club a little bit. I mean, there's plenty of time to do it, and we will do that. But on the other side of the break, we'll do 5-3-4.
The 2019-2020 Super Bowl odds are out.
This is the number one sports talk show in the upper Midwest, with an asterisk. The Common Man, Dan Cole, on the Fan.
By the way, I'd like to say this, Tenneby. I do appreciate the responses to Common Man's Twitter account when I tweet during ball games. What was I going to say? There was something, that was a point I was going to make on that. Hold on now. I forget now. Early onset, I think. I don't know. Yeah.
You're happy with the responses you get via Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, I forget. I'll get to it later. Let's go ahead and do 5-3-4.
Time now for 5 questions. Well, actually 3, but 5 sounds like more than 4. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Question number 1. It's time now for the lowdown in Dinky Town.
Gophers men's basketball team had a 13-point second half lead at Purdue, but they blew it. They fall to the number 17 Boilermakers, 73-63. You heard that game right here on The Fan. Common, which game was more disappointing, getting blown out by Illinois or blowing a 13-point second half lead at number 17 Purdue?
Oh, I think the Purdue, just because it was more recent. It was, we're at the point where it's, the games are, they're kind of, you know, I think I saw last week before the, you know, maybe it was over the weekend before the Purdue game, something to the effect of, and, you know, again, take them with a grain of salt, but the Seth Davises of the world and all these people that eat, breathe, drink, sleep, idolize, and pedestalize college basketball, they come out with their, this is what we think the 60-14 bracket's going to look like. And Minnesota was an 11th seed, okay?
Yep.
So is that really bubble? I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a bubble
player. You're a couple teams away from.
They don't do rest in peace anymore. There's no RIP. It's NET, net something, which has got Patino bitter. And I don't know if it's perfect. I don't think there's a perfect system for selecting who should be in the big dance, right? But right now, net doesn't treat the Gophers as well as, I think, rest in peace.
RPI would be better, yeah.
Right. So this was, if you're going to try to get there and improve your net, your RPI, this, that, lat, then that was a big game. You know, you're going to have a lemon, everyone. Even the, I look at Michigan State lost to Indiana. Indiana, baby brother Peter and I watched some of that. We went out to eat Saturday night as a family, and it was on at, they had several screens with games on, and we were watching that. Michigan State lost at home to an Indiana team that it was, had lost, I think, 7 in a row, and they were 2-9 in the Big Ten. So that's Tommy Izzo's fifth-ranked Michigan State Spartans at home losing to Indiana. How do you do that in overtime? So everybody's going, now I'm not trying to put the Gophers on the same level as Michigan State, but my point is all teams are going to have, they're going to have a lemon. You're going to lay an egg. So you laid the egg against Illinois, you rebounded, you beat them. Now you're trying to make some progress here, win some games, get to the magic 20-game mark, get a win over the Boilermakers. And was that at Purdue?
Yes, it was.
At Keedy Center? You win there, that's a big game. So up 13 and blow it, that's not good at all. And I guess now, and you know me, what's the word I'm looking for? I can change my opinion quickly on clubs. You know, I think last week you asked me, you know, if I thought the Gophers were going to get to the 20 or get to the bit. I said, yeah, I like the way they're playing. I think they're a good enough team. And then you see a game like that and I start second guessing myself again and go, well, maybe not. But, you know, they're at what, 16 wins? You got to get to 20. You have to get to 20, I think. Unless you get to 19 and you upset, you know, 2 Big Ten teams that are top 20, but I don't think.
Or you get to 19 and then do something in the tournament.
Yes.
The Big Ten tournament.
Right, do
that's
something. Yeah, exactly. But now I almost feel like they're not going to make it, but they got time. But yeah, I think this was worse. To answer your question, I think this one was worse than the loss to Illinois.
Question number 2. Time now for an in-depth look at the state of the state of hockey.
Apparently it was rust more than rest, because after an 8-day break, the Wild played 2 games over the weekend and they lost both of them. They lost 3-1 in Dallas on Friday night, then fell to the Chicago Blackhawks in overtime 4-3 on Saturday night. That one was at home at the X. The Wild currently hold the top wildcard spot in the West. They're 4 points ahead of the Avalanche for that final playoff spot. Common, your thoughts on the Wild's weekend woes?
They, did you mention this? A couple guys went on ravers?
I did not.
Prosser.
And they both cleared waivers today.
They cleared waivers. That means we can either bring them back to the big club or send them down to AHL.
Yeah.
Is Prosser going to come back up?
My guess is Prosser would get sent down.
Right. Apparently, they've decided the team needs more than tweaking. Remember, it was just tweaks? Because this club has made a number of moves.
They've made a bunch of moves, yes.
So, obviously,
a bunch of minor moves other than the Nino trade.
But still, that seems like they're more than tweaking, or would you still consider those tweaks?
Given it's not really a shot to your core, I still think they're just kind of minor tweaks. The Nino trade for Rask, who, by the way, got his first goal, the tying goal, to at least give them a point against Chicago Saturday night. That's a little bit of a shakeup, but other than that, minor moves.
It's talk about getting tired of Belichick, Brady, and the Patriots. I get tired of trying to analyze the Wild. They're up, they're down. They go on. You know, didn't they have a stretch recently where they went like 7-1-2 or something, whatever it was. They had a nice stretch. And now you come out of the All-Star break trying to get some momentum. And
they're like a roller coaster.
They're a roller coaster. And until it's the old, you've heard me say it hundreds of times, get to the Western Conference Finals and get back to me. Even now would be just get to the second round again and let me see if you can get out of the second round. You know, I don't even know if they can do that. They might not even qualify, right? I mean, if it started today, they still
they're
a wild card.
They're 4 points up right now in the final.
Yeah.
What they've been fortunate is the top five teams in the Western Conference are pretty good, and then there's a big gap. And the Western Conference has been so much worse this year, especially from a depth standpoint, than they have in the past, that the Wild, even though the Wild, they're a 500 team. They've won 26 games and lost 26 games. But based on the fact that the rest of the West has been so bad, still sit in an okay position. And Ken, one of the most interesting tweets I saw yesterday is there are these analytics websites that'll give you like percent chance to make the playoffs, percent chance to get to the second round, percent chance to get to the conference finals, percent chance to get to the finals, percent chance to win the cup. According to these websites, teams like the Wild and even St. Louis, who aren't even in the top eight right now in the West, have better chances to win the cup and get to the cup than the Nashville Predators, who are above them in the standings. I don't agree with it, and I understand why the percentages are that way, is because Nashville is pretty much dead set on they got to get through Winnipeg. Whereas the Wild, based on one of their positions, still have a shot to go through the Pacific Division. You're going to be facing worse competition going that route as opposed to doing the Winnipeg route. So I still found it interesting, though, that the statistical websites say the Wild have a better chance to win the Cup than the Nashville Predators, even though the Predators have a better team and are quite above them in the standings.
Yeah, and that's why analytics and sabermetrics, just prognostications in general, and we all do it. You know, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna get to preseason football with the purple, and we're gonna start saying who's gonna win the North, and we're all gonna go, well, I think the Packers, think the Bears, think the Vikings. No one's gonna say Kitties. I don't even think I can go that far. We're all gonna make these pretty, and it's folly is really what it is. So yeah, I mean, if you're gonna ask me, Predators or Wild, I'd say, well, I don't care what this sabermetrics analytics say. That you just said it, the Predators are a better team. I would expect they have a better chance, but
it does at least go to my point that for a long time, people like you and some of your listeners give me the old, oh, you're so scared, you want to go through the other division. Well, I now have statistical evidence that shows it's better to take the scaredy cat route.
Yeah. The teeth chattering
route. The teeth chattering route.
Maybe you're right. Maybe we should all be teeth chattering.
I've got science and evidence behind me now.
Yeah. All right.
Question number 3. Programming predicament.
That Wild team, by the way, they're in Buffalo tonight to take on the Sabres. That game is at 6 o'clock. You'll hear that right here on The Fan. Wolves are at Memphis at 7 p.m. So, Common, what are you going to do about tonight's
programming predicament?
I think I'll watch Chopped TV show about the cooking competition. I think the family will gather around the TV and watch Chopped. Your Wolves club, by the way, what happened to the Nuggets? Back-to-back games, they played four games in the last 7 nights. Lowell's arrested. Well, how could you even expect the Nuggets to be in that ballgame? Well, they're a better team. And what did Alvin Gentry say? The most overrated thing in the NBA is playing back-to-backs or four games in 7 nights. The Nuggets are a better ball club. And that, it was a one-point game and went right down to one-bucket game, went right down to the very, very wire. I saw the tail end of the game, the part I saw. Wolves desperately trying to tie the game at the very end. I don't know, Tenneby. Neither one sounds particularly. I'm really having trouble garnering any enthusiasm for either of the pro winter sports teams. I just am. I have higher standards, just like the Grum does. And so I really have a difficult time getting excited. I probably will click by the Wolves. I don't think I'll even touch the Wild. I'll probably. What else is on? Is there anything else on?
Well, I screwed this up, by the way. The Wild play tomorrow night in Buffalo, apparently.
Oh. And you're the Wild.
That's my fault. They both play tomorrow night. So that was a mistake by me.
Well, I'll flip a coin tomorrow.
I saw it on the Star Tribune, and it had the schedule and had them both set up, and I thought that was tonight.
Well, you know what? Save that question for tomorrow.
Save it for tomorrow.
Say, I don't think it over.
Well, speaking of the Wolves, did you see the tweet I sent you? I actually tried to reply. I mentioned you on a tweet I didn't see the game against the Nuggets, but I just saw the video highlight of Denver's up 105-104. Clearly the Wolves have just made a basket. Mm-hmm. And the Wolves start just walking backwards down the court, and Denver just heaves one pass.
Yeah.
With a minute left in the game and a one-point game, how do you do that
because
at that moment?
Because that's the NBA, and that's the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah, it was astonishing.
You've got to be kidding me.
I saw the play happen. Standrew standing around, and it was another game filled with frustration for Big Meow. Because late in the game, it was getting physical, and he wasn't getting the benefit of any calls. And you could tell he was really bitter about it. And I think it was one of the old sages on the Wolves. And maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. It was either Fishwrap West or an Athletic. You're familiar with the Athletic.
The what?
It's called the Athletic. It's a national website that has enlisted sports writers from all around the country to write about each writer kind of covers a specific team in a specific city, or a couple of different teams, or the league, or a certain league if they have a big enough name. But somebody, and this was in the last couple of weeks, and I think it was Taj that was saying this, and maybe it wasn't, but, and again, maybe somebody can help me out here, but he was talking about how what Big Meow has got to start doing is, I don't think you should have to do this. See, this is, again, what's wrong with sports. He basically said, and I'm paraphrasing and summarizing what he said, but you got to kind of talk to the officials and get to know them a little bit, find out what their hobbies are, ask them about their family before the game, and kind of get along with them, and then you get the benefit of the calls. How sad? Why should you have to do that? Why do you have to be pals and kind of suck up to the officials so that when he's got a questionable call, you know, he asked me about my kids. I guess I'll say that wasn't a foul. It's either a foul or it's not.
Yeah.
You were fouled or you weren't. But that was basically what was being said. Is the same in hockey,
and
too?
And officials who make emotional calls as opposed to what they see with their eyes, they shouldn't be officials. And this goes back to the story we had a couple weeks ago about how the reason there's home ice advantage, home field advantage, and all these different sports is just because the refs call it differently. They call it more for the home team. The refs should not be taking emotion into their calls.
Not in the least. It should be the furthest thing they should be doing. But that's basically so. It doesn't appear, at least with this group, and I don't know who, you know, I don't know any of the only official I know is Kenny Maurer, just because he's one of us. I don't know the name of another NBA official. Do you? I don't.
No.
But apparently, if you're a player, you better get to know not only their name, but you know who their spouses are, their kids, their hobbies, their likes, their dislikes, because that's the only way you're going to get a call is if you get to know them and start palling around with them, which I think is preposterous.
Question number three.
Westgate Superbook has released their Super Bowl odds for next season. They have the Kansas City Chiefs as the 6-1 favorites. Rams, Saints, Patriots are all at 8-1.
Nobody believes in the Patriots again, see?
Chargers, Bears, Steelers are all at 14-1. Your Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers are both 16-1. And by the way, Common, your Detroit Lions are at 100-1. Common, do you agree with the odds for next year?
No, they're doubting the Patriots. Nobody believes in the Patriots. There's nobody out there that believes in that club, and I'm surprised. After what they did yesterday?
Disrespect.
They've won. Do you not understand? Just enjoy this dynasty. As a matter of fact, I think all fans of all NFL teams should change their rooting interest. I think we should all just start rooting for the Patriots because it's just so much fun to watch them win year after year after year. And cheat doing so. I love it.
And be smug in the press conferences.
And, yeah. And talk about how nobody believes in us. How sad. What was your question?
Super Bowl odds, or big game odds, I should say.
Well, again, boy, that's hard to figure out. Let's see. Kansas City, who was a championship game finalist. Who are the other favorites? Saints, championship game finalist. Rams, just in the big game, runner-up. Patriots won the big game. Who are the other teams?
So Chiefs, Rams, Saints, Patriots, Chargers, Bears, Steelers.
Chargers, Bears, both in the playoffs. Yeah, boy, it's hard to figure those ones out. Of course those are the teams. Yeah, none of them surprise me.
Which I find a little bizarre because there's free agency and draft. The teams are going to change a decent amount.
They are, but if you were going to right now try to identify teams.
I'd basically have it the same way.
Yeah, you would have it the same exact way. That's exactly right.
And that's it for today's edition of 5 Questions. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Well, actually, 3 questions, but 5 sounds like more than 4.
A big announcement regarding the Grom. On the other side of the break, Common Man program, the new program on the Fan.
The Common Man.
He has an innovative approach. He doesn't feel like he has to do things that only he's seen other people do.
Weekdays at noon on the Fan.
Time for our national cash contest. You just have to listen to the Fan every hour for the keyword and your shot to put a grand in your hand. This hour, your keyword is super. Text that keyword super to 200-200. Enter. Standard text messaging and data rates may apply.
1, 2, 3, my baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really want
couple 13, 14 pass tend to be remembered last week on the in the wake of the announcement that Lindsey Vonn would be retiring from competitive skiing. She might still do the bunny run at her home hill, Trollhagen, in Dresser. But we had the discussion, best athletes ever out of Minnesota, right? It's one of those discussions we've had once or twice a year. Topic comes up. I've determined Patty Berg, number one, Lindsey Vonn, number two, Lindsey Whalen, number three. From that, I haven't gone any deeper than that, but those would be our three best athletes, male or female, in the state of Minnesota. But this emailer brought up this point, Tenneby. Best Minnesota athlete is Paul Allen. Best defender. No one he guarded ever scored. Right? I've played with him in pickup basketball. No one has ever scored on VA.
No?
Has to go down as maybe the greatest athlete in the history.
Brilliant.
Of Minnesota. Big announcement, Tenneby.
Kabomb.
The annual preposterous statement tournament has been canceled. No, it starts Wednesday here on the Common Man program on the Fan.
It could get canceled by Wednesday.
Well, there's that. You'd love to cancel it.
Well, not at this point. I've done the work now.
You mean the committee's done the work?
The committee has done the work.
Handed it over to you.
I participate in the committee.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Is this Roman numeral VV?
This is number 10.
This is double V.
Yeah.
Double V. 9 years. Or time flies.
Heck of a run.
Time flies when I'm doing nothing. The tournament just continues to grow and grow. People seem to love it. And those that aren't familiar with the Preposterous Statement Tournament, it's really pretty simple. It started 10 years ago. And the idea started 10 years ago. But preposterous statements were probably even well before that. Because it started one day when some athlete uttered something that I declared, well, that's preposterous. And then I declared something else somebody said, preposterous. Then listeners started saying, I heard something that was preposterous. Then you came up with the idea, and I credit you, because you were the one that said, so really you're your own worst enemy, because even though you and the committee put in all the work, it was your brainstorm. You said, we should do an NCAA tournament-like bracket with preposterous statements, because so many were being nominated. Yep. And we said, lo and behold, that's a mighty fine idea. And we have crowned, so what we do is we collect preposterous statements that have been uttered. Doesn't have to be sports-related, though I would say, 80 to 90% of them are.
Yeah.
And
we've avoided political at this point. The committee's made a decision.
Yeah, it just because it makes makes people bitter and angry, and it's the preposterous statement tournament is supposed to be
To be having fun.
We're supposed to be having fun. If I'm having fun, you're having fun. The preposterous statement tournament utterers are having fun. Then the audience is having fun, and so we collect them and we get them. Early on, you and I were the ones finding them, but then the listeners are the ones that are responsible for what. 95% of them, would you say?
Well, early on, it was you and I, and people would randomly call them in and email them in. So we used to get them by email.
Yes. And now...
Social
media has helped, yes.
But the problem with that is we get a lot more preposterous statements now, but it's also, I think, taken a little bit away from the local flair.
Right.
Because you can get, just basically anyone some idiot says nationwide or international-wide is going to be sent to us, and it's... They knock out the local people.
Yes. So listeners will send us preposterous statements. We really love it if you can include audio because that enhances the preposterous statement tournament. Because what we do now is the committee has winnowed it down to 68 preposterous statements of the hundreds that have been nominated and submitted. And then we have say-in games, just like the NCAA tournament. We'll have those. That's coming up on, we're starting Wednesday? Is that when we're starting?
The bracket will be revealed Wednesday, and then we'll probably start Thursday.
Thursday, okay.
You can start voting on Thursday.
We'll have say-in statements, and they will advance into the 64-team PST. And then
except for we do our say-in statements the right way. We don't do like 11 versus 6 seed in a play-in game. Which is ridiculous with the NCAA tournament. It's 16 versus 17.
A 16 versus 17. A winner gets into the tournament, and then every day we have a PA region, right? Do we still name them after preposterous statement utterers?
Well, we used to, for the long time, we named them after sponsors.
Okay.
But we don't really do the sponsor thing anymore.
So do we name them after
we could name them however we want. As of right now, we just have the old East, Midwest, West, South.
I kind of like... recognizing some of the all-time great preposterous statement utterers, the Paul Allen region, the Mark Rosen region.
We can make that change.
Maybe we could do that.
Yeah.
And then we unveil them for how many at a time do we do? On the air.
Well, pretty much do one region a segment.
One region a segment. Yeah. We do it every day, and you vote. You get 24 hours to vote. We narrow it down. We get it down to.
I see what you're talking about. You and I were thinking differently.
Yeah.
Four matchups. Yes.
And the four matchups and. You vote on them. We reveal the winners the very next day. Then we have the next set of four until we get to a silly 16, what do we call the 8?
Ialto 8
or idiotic 8, whatever what you want to call it. Foolish 4. And then we got to the decade duo. Decade. And then we crown a champion.
I always love that
decade duo.
Yeah, I do too. And we've had a lot of illustrious champions over the years. Kevin Gorg, Paul Charchian. I mean, of the nine we've had, how many have been local?
Greg Coleman was the first one.
Coleman,
Charge,
Gorg,
Tommy Olson.
That's four. Are all the other national?
McCants, Tom Fitzgerald.
And McCants had the local tie. He didn't utter a statement when he played for us, but it was still a local tie. A local tie into
Amy Van Dyken.
Amy Van Dyken.
The one last year, the guy's name escapes me. He was the Yankee that was pretty much like a minor leaguer.
Oh.
Who got called up and wanted to.
He wanted Mantle's number. He
wanted Mickey Mantle's number.
Yeah, he wanted if they could unretire it for him. And then. Fitzgerald?
Yep. Northwestern coach.
Yeah.
Who was the Gophers offensive coordinator?
He won it, yeah.
In like the second year.
What was his statement again now? Something preposterous, obviously.
Man, my memory's bad.
Yeah, mine too. But we start again.
Probably something Rose Bowl related.
I would think so. As a matter of fact, I think it was Rose Bowl related. Yeah. Do you have just a sample? I know we generally never unveil.
Yep.
But can you give us just a nugget or two of maybe?
Well, yeah, I won't reveal whether these make the tournament.
Okay.
And if they do make the tournament, we won't know what seed they are.
Right.
But speaking of local, Matt Burke, you know, my favorite is the football people that take their sport too seriously, and we have a bunch of those in this year's tournament.
Okay.
Matt Burke is one of those people. This is what he said about the 2 weeks leading up to training camp.
When we'd be there at training camp, we'd say, man, when I'm done, I'm going to make sure I just savor the start of training camp because I don't have to do it. I mean, right now is just the worst time of year. It's worse than training camp because it's like you're on death row, you know, and your days are numbered.
Did he just compare the countdown to training camp like being on death row?
The week or two leading up to training camp.
Compared it to, because it's so hard. Oh, going out there and hitting a blocking sled, hitting a couple of tackling dummies, and getting middays off, 2 hours in the morning, middays, and then 2 hours in the afternoon. How strenuous. Again, idolization, pedestalization, how important we are. It's so wonderful what we do and so difficult. Can you even fathom what it's like to be us? So that's a good one. Whether it's in or out, you're not saying. I get the sneaking suspicion it's going to be in. I really do. It would be hard to keep that out.
How high do you think it would be
seated? Well, that's it. Well, I think it's single digit seed, I think, because that might be one of the most preposterous things I've ever heard. Got one more you could tease us with, maybe?
Let's see here. How about this one? Because I don't think we ever talked about this one on air.
Okay.
Bucky Brooks, who I think is one of those NFL experts or analysts or works for NFL.com. I'm not sure what media outlet he's for.
Anybody named Bucky is hard to take serious, but go ahead.
Remember when Aaron Rodgers was hurt game one against the Chicago Bears?
Yes.
So after Rodgers was injured, this is what he said. Quote, I think this injury could be a blessing in disguise for the offense. More no huddle puts the game in number 12's hands. Plus, the limited mobility makes him more prone to play on schedule. Quicker throws to his wide receivers. And then he wrote RAC! !
You're making that up. He didn't really say that. See how much fun the preposterous statement tournament is?
You've got to be kidding me.
So maybe tomorrow we'll just talk about some of the champions. You know, we had nine of them. Or do you have anything planned? I see we never talk about this. Is there any... Do we have anything special?
No, we don't have anything planned at all.
Okay, well then you know what we'll do just tomorrow.
We'll just reveal them on Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and tomorrow let's do another segment, maybe the 1:15 segment, and we can just talk about some of the past champions and some of the
great. We can play some audio of those too.
Yeah, we can play audio because it's a lot of fun. So, Preposterous Statement Tournament begins on Wednesday with the unveiling, and then the voting begins on Thursday. Right here, Common Man program on the Fan.
The Common Man.
Surprised me none that he brought the first bit back to him and then did the second bit starting off talking about him.
Weekdays at noon on the Fan.
Enter to win a 4-pack of tickets to the St. Paul Home and Landscape Show at the St. Paul River Center February 15th through the 17th. To enter to win, go to kfan.com, make the keyword contest.
Well, 13-14 passed. Tend to be last week another controversial edition of the Common Man program, or a controversial topic, should I say, regarding how long can birds stay in flight? It all started with a brambling spotting somewhere in Minnesota. Detroit Lakes Duluth News Tribune wrote, but then somebody emailed me and said, no, the reporting was wrong. It was actually in Thief River Falls. Or maybe bramblings are invading the state of Minnesota. But then part of the story was, where did the Brambling come from? And someone thought maybe he flew across the Bering Sea, and then, which led you to the question, how long can a bird stay in the air before it has to land? And I thought, well, maybe, you know, an hour and a half. Someone said it can up to a year, 6 months to a year, and I thought it was preposterous. But nonetheless, I got this email, Tenneby, that said, Animal Facts. Common, that was an interesting tidbit about an albatross being able to fly for months. I have another fact that you may find interesting. Did you know that a racehorse loses hundreds of pounds during a race? Signed, Days of Our Lives guy. Because that's another one of those facts that I had no idea. And funny, that kind of ties in with the preposterous statement tournament, which is coming up again, as we said, the unveiling of the participants on Wednesday, and then the voting starts on Thursday. That was a Kevin Gorg classic. Kevin Gorg, who spends a lot of time out at the track, works at Canterbury, and he's also works for Fox Sports North. In general, specifically hockey's is number one, right? And that is wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But he does stuff for Twins, I think.
He does stuff, yeah.
But his wheelhouse is hockey. And he was on with Paul Charchian one time. And he basically was handicapping the upcoming Kentucky Derby, I think. Or maybe it was a big race out at...
No, it was the Derby.
It was the Derby?
Yeah.
And he basically said that a horse loses hundreds of pounds.
I always love that one.
You know, quite often in sports, we'll talk about the best team to never win a big one, or the best athlete to never win a big one. We'd like to... like the 98 Vikings might be the best football team I've ever seen that didn't win the big one.
Correct.
There's no doubt the best statement to ever not win the preposterous statement tournament, and that was Kevin Gorg.
And what did win that? Was it
Amy Van Dyken?
Yeah.
And hers was pretty good.
Yeah. Poor Gorg. To have that kind of performance, to utter that statement, which any other year wins, right?
No
doubt.
Doesn't it? I still think it might be the best one of all time. Now, Gorg did win the next year.
Yes, he did.
With a different statement.
And that was the two-goal lead one? Or was that even a different one? How many has he had?
That was the one where PA suggested the Wild get out to a 2-0 lead against Chicago.
Right.
Now, we don't want to get out to an early 2-0 lead. We want to keep it scoreless as long as possible.
Yeah, that's exactly. as good as it gets. He says he does regret it. Because to this day, any time the Wild get out to a 2-0 lead, he gets inundated on Twitter with people on Twitter, people going after him. This email, Tenneby, says, PST legend grows. Since Charge's famous Brady is done statement, the legend continues to grow. Four Brady stats below. Charge said Brady is done, Tenneby. 57-15 regular season record. 12-2 postseason record. 4 big game appearances and 3 big game wins.
I always love that.
That's
one.
Just since the Brady is done.
That's astonishing.
Which, isn't it interesting how when a preposterous statement is first uttered, you go, well, that's preposterous.
Yeah.
But then it even gets more preposterous. Like in this case, it gets even more preposterous as time goes by, right? Let's say the next year Brady would have been done, right? Let's say it would have been the very next year. Brady just fell off the face of the earth. Then you'd go, well, it was preposterous to say it when he did, but boy, he was close. I mean, he was only...
Father time gets the best.
Yeah, he was only one season off, but he's 57-15 since... 12-2 in postseason play, 4 big game appearances in 4 big game wins.
Well, then what can make that one even better? Now, Jimmy Garoppolo had a nice little stretch 2 years ago when he first was traded to San Francisco. Clearly, he got hurt early on this year and never really got to see him. But if he becomes a massive bust, that enhances that statement even more.
Exactly.
Part of that statement was that he's better than Brady.
Exactly. Brady wasn't not only the best quarterback in the league, he wasn't even the best quarterback on the roster anymore. This one says, Common,
I always love that one.
Who is or could become a hated Patriots-like dynasty of the PST? And is there a task force to urine test for the possibility of doping with preposterol? We don't have any testing right now. It takes the fun out of it. We don't want people to be, what's the word I'm looking for? We don't want him
not
to be
handcuffed.
Yeah, we don't want him to be removed from the tournament.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want that. If you're mainline and preposterous, go ahead. We can't worry about that. The only difference between the PST, somebody becoming a Patriots like dynasty where hatred would be involved, preposterous statement, I think people, it's different than the, for those of us that dislike the Patriots, we're sick and tired of their cheating, of them winning all the time, of talk about preposterous. My guess is it's, and you would know for PST, VVI, Belichick or Brady could be nominated for saying everybody doubted us. If you somebody emailed me just moments ago that said, going into the season, Tenenby, they were the 5-1 favorites to win the big game.
Well, yeah.
Going into the season, they were the favorites. So the idea that, that's what's even more insulting about this insufferable franchise that is the Boston Patriots. That they actually do the old nobody believed in us. It's like, give us, I mean, stop it already. You're already, you already annoy everybody enough. Stop with the nobody believed in us garbage. But I think we embrace those that utter preposterous statements, right? So I don't think they become hated. You know, I mean, look at Paul Allen. Paul Allen once had an entire region. He had 17.
It'll never get better than that.
It'll never get better. He had 17 preposterous statements. He was guaranteed a slot in the Foolish Four. And he didn't win that year, did he?
No.
He's never won, right?
No, he's not.
He's in the Hall of Fame, correct?
No doubt.
Are we having a Hall of Fame again?
No, I kind of stopped doing the Hall of Fame just because after we kind of got our first four or five or six.
Yeah.
It's just too big of a drop off. Like I'm with you where I want actual legit Hall of Famers in there. I want the elite of the elite.
So maybe we should just
I don't want someone just put in just for the sake of it.
Well, maybe we should just do it every 5 years, which means we'll probably never do another Hall of Fame ballot because I don't think you and I are going to be here in 5 years. But let's just say every 5 years.
And the other issue is we don't have a lot, especially locally, we don't have a lot of the same people over and over again like we used to because there's so many statements from everybody.
By the way, the golfer you were mentioning was Jed Fish.
Yes.
Jed Fish. And was it Rose Bowl related? I would think it would had to have been.
I believe it
Rose
was,
Bowl related. So I don't think, I mean, I embrace Paul Allen as a preposterous statement utterer. He had an entire bracket. An entire, I mean, he had 17 preposterous statements.
That'll never be done again.
No. You talk about, you know, they say, you know, Tony Romo, we'll never see this again in our lifetime. A dynasty like Belichick and Brady. We'll never see anybody get, not only, think about it, how many preposterous statements was he nominated for? Because that was just 17. There might have been 20, 25, 30. What year was that? Was that a big run for the Purple? Was that 09?
Well, it had to have been a letdown year is what had to have happened.
Right, sure.
My guess is it was the year after. Remember when we had Christian Ponder somehow take this team to a playoff spot?
Oh, right.
And then the following year, it fell off pretty good.
That's probably where they...
I guess, because I believe that was the year the Vikings and the Falcons, and you're on your own after that.
Right.
And the NFC Championship.
And the two teams want to combine.
It had to have been... He must have gotten pretty cocky after that year.
Yeah, I would think he probably did. This one says, comment, after the 10th tourney is finished, you should take all the 10 winners and put them in a single tourney to find out the best of the 10 and crown one ultimate champion, USPS guy. That would be fun just to do for a day. I mean, it's something we could possibly think
about.
Well,
here's what I would like to do, because we'd have 10.
Okay.
I would like to have 6 wild card entries to make it a 16 statement tournament. Therefore, right. We allow Gorg back in to see if he would end up. Now that we've looked back at it a little longer.
Right.
Because there might be some that didn't win or based on their competition that year and didn't get as far as they should have. Now, I'm sure we'll have controversy over who the 6 wild cards are. But then we can just make like a 16 statement bracket.
I have 2 that I would put in as wild cards right now. And in both cases, it's the same guy. Was his name Rex Hudler?
Yes, I love those.
Where he said, that players get tired from squinting in the sun. It drains the energy from them. And then he talked about chewing the gum confidently.
I have to find these. We have audio for both of these.
Where he talked about some pitcher, he said he liked the way he was chewing his gum confidently. That's why he had in Ryan LaFever, young Lyon LaFever, who got his career in broadcasting, started here at the Fan before he went on to greater things as the Kansas City Royals play-by-play guy. He questioned Hudler about it. I mean, he basically went, can you chew your gum unconfidently? Do you have them both?
Yeah, here's the gum one first.
You can see his mouth presence looking at him. He's looking in, he's looking back, he's chewing that gum with confidence. And that's all the hitter sees besides the ball. Chewing gum with confidence. Is there a way to be not confident in the way you chew your gum? I think, yes, hitters can see you swallow deeply and breathe deeply. So there is. Everything that the pitcher shows you is all in-game. It's all there, man. You check it out. But I can tell by looking at it from here. So you're saying by chewing his gum the way he is, he's giving off a vibe that he's relaxed on the mound and he's in control.
And here I come.
You know, I forgot.
That's so good.
I never thought it was with that organ music in the background. I wish it was the Laurel and Hardy Cuckoo song. Chewing gum confidently. Can you imagine you're at the plate and you're standing there going, wow, look at the way he's chewing that gum. Man, I mean, I got no chance here. I may as well just flail at it and just make it look good. And then the other one was the squinting of the eyes. Do we have that one?
Yep.
We have them all, don't we? This is good.
When you squint in the sun, that takes energy out of your body. When you squint. But when you put the glasses on, you don't have to squint. It helps you preserve your energy. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense. But it made for a great preposterous statement, and he didn't win, right?
No.
Both of those, I think, had nice runs, though. I got to think they got...
They both went for... Yeah.
Yeah, they at least went silly foolish 16. Maybe got Ialdoite or foolish.
Here's one I like that didn't win.
And it's not a perfect situation. You know, Zach Parise is getting married this summer, and, you know, his wife may want to work, and she may look at the Michigan area and go, well, wait a second, unemployment's really high and everything. Absolutely. So these are significant factors. When he says, I want to have the most, I want to get the most information.
Where's she going to work? Because they're going to need, if they're going to balance the checkbook. It's difficult to do on
one income.
On one income, yeah. Of $98 million, was it? Is that the number?
That is correct.
It's, you know, and again, he didn't want that. That's his own fault. Or he didn't want the stigma of an eight-figure deal or seven? I can't remember.
Nine-figure deal.
He didn't want the stigma of a nine-figure deal.
Can you imagine how bitter his wife was when she found out he wasn't signing the nine-figure deal?
And she's still collecting unemployment to this day. She's not been able to find work.
That one.
Isn't that unfortunate? She was not able to find work in this town. Do you have the Van Dyken winner?
Oh, yeah. I can get them all.
The Van Dyken winner is...
That was a little longer, so maybe we want to...
And she was such a good sport about it. And then she had the tragic accident after the preposterous statement tournament, right?
Yes.
And she became paralyzed from, is it the waist down? Is she still paralyzed?
I have not heard from her in a long time. I should probably look her up.
We should bring her on again. She was... delighted to be I think at first on Twitter she was bitter, but then I think she kind of played along with it and enjoyed it. She came on after she won it and talked with us, and it was a great interview. We had a great time with Amy.
Here it is. It's a minute long.
Okay.
And Drew Brees, I think that for him holding out, I thought it was awesome, because I've said it time and time again, this is the second time in his career that he was franchised. The Everyone needs to sit down, and the CBA should have addressed this, that you shouldn't be allowed to be franchised more than one time in your career.
Yeah, because that is kind of...
it's crap, and look at what happened to him last time. He ended up hurting his shoulder. Everyone thought that he was done. He was lucky to get signed with the Saints. Then what he did was absolutely amazing. I mean, that's tough, and he's got a kid, and he's got a family, and he's got to provide for these people, and he doesn't know where his next meal's coming from. I mean, that's tough, and it's tough to not know, and especially this year, it's tough to not know if he's going to play or not before he signed, because if he doesn't sign, he gets no insurance, so his wife is going to have that baby, and they're going to have to front the money for that, and that's a lot of money to have a baby, you know, and then yes. Heaven forbid, and let's knock on wood it doesn't happen, complications make it even more complicated and more expensive, and I don't know. I think what he did was really, really gutsy.
I think we looked at his previous you know, paychecks. And leading up to that, the franchise thing, he'd made like hundreds of millions of dollars. And he's got to front the money. He's got to go to a loan shark out on the street somewhere on, what's the street in New Orleans?
The Bourbon?
Bourbon Street. You have to go out into a back alley off of Bourbon Street and get a loan from a loan shark to pay for the birth of his child. That's what she felt bad for him. It's just so astonishing. And she won that year and was terrific. So those are just some of the past great memories from the preposterous statement tournament. As if Boston hasn't won enough, they win again. I'll explain to him the other side of the break here on the ground.
The Common Man.
You're on fire today, Dan. This is when you're at your best.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan. And
so one of the emails that comes into booth@kfan.com, Bradshaw and Brian Inbox, you know, sounds like you're envious and bitter about it. Well, yeah, I'm envious and bitter. Yeah. I wish it was the purple or the Honolulu blue that was winning six big games out of the last 13. Why wouldn't I? I like variety. It's the spice of life, Tenneby, and you can use that. Unless it's your favorite team, I don't think anybody likes it. And again, you can certainly say, boy, I admire that. That is, that's a heck of a run. That's a dynasty. That's dominating your sport as close as you can dominate. You know, winning six big games in the last, and then being in how many consecutive AFC championship games? Was it like 9 or 10 or 13, 14? And then I can go, that being said, I hate them, and I wish it would stop. Why can't you have both? And you don't have to have both. You can hate the franchise and hate the dynasty. You can love the franchise and love the dynasty. You can love the franchise and hate the dynasty, and you can love the dynasty and hate the franchise. Did I get all four? Huh? You've got different combinations of what you can do. And I think most people outside of Boston proper agree with me. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of the Cheatriots. Just damn. Sorry.
Does the cheating change it for you? If they had duplicated this without ever doing Spygate, without ever doing Deflategate, or is it still just a matter of you're sick of seeing the same team win over them?
It's the same. This does add to it. This is the...
Because I think overall, Tom Brady is a relatively likable guy.
Did you see what Suhan wrote in the lead up to the game when he was extolling the virtues of Brady? More handsome than most movie stars. He's not that good. I mean, he's okay, but he's kind of got a ruddy cut. And look, I'm comfortable in my masculinity. I can tell you if I think, well, I can see why women like him. That's an attractive man. He's got rugged good looks or whatever the case may be.
If he was the producer of the Common Man program instead of being six-time Super Bowl champion quarterback for the New England Patriots, I'm not sure the ladies would be fawning
you
over him.
You are exactly correct. So, yeah.
And I don't even really think they fawn over him.
No.
Despite that.
No, I don't think they do. And so, yeah, he's a handsome chap. He certainly, I don't think he has the market on looks cornered, though. I got to be honest with you, Tenneby. When I was 41, I was better looking than he is. Whoops, wrong one.
How old are you now?
60.
No chance Brady looks that good when he's 60. Not possible. You have a better fashion than he does.
Thank you. Certainly more than Belichick with his hoodie. And that's okay if he wants to wear that. If it's not enough, though. So, football dynasty. Didn't they just win the World Series again, too? Red Sox, did they win it again this past year? And they've won four of the past eight, four past.
I think it's been a little longer than that, but
a little longer, not much more though, right?
I'd say like four of the last 13, 14. Okay.
When was the last time the Celtics won?
KG.
What year
Paul
was
Pierce.
That?
That was about a decade ago, okay. Wasn't it?
How about their hockey team? Have they won recently?
Also about 7, 8, 9 years ago.
Yeah. Do they have a WNBA team? My guess is they've won it all. No, wait, we've got the market cornered on that.
The Celtics won in 2008.
If that's not enough, Tenneby.
Bruins won 2010-2011.
So.
That season, not both.
So, what's the farthest back then? The Celtics?
Yeah.
And that was what year?
2008.
So, in the past 11 years, they've won one NBA title, one NHL title. How many Super Bowls in that period? Three or four? And then World Series titles, two or three.
Yeah, the Patriots won in 2015, 2017, 2019.
So that's three, that's five world championships. And then Boston, how many? The Red Sox in that time period?
Red Sox, 2018, 2013.
That's
but
seven?
They also run in 2007, 2004.
So, but just since they're very, you know, since they've the furthest one back.
Since their fourth team.
And if that's not enough, Barrett Sports Media, WBZ Boston's Mike Thomas is Program Director of the Year.
You've got to be kidding me.
Must be tough.
So even their radio station, their sports radio station is the best programmed radio station in the country. Day four, sports talk consultancy Barrett Sports Media's release of the results of its fourth annual survey, ranking the best in sports radio, best in sports radio format, anoints Beasley Sports WBZ 98.55.
The BZ.
Hub, they're the hub. Boston, PD, Mike Thomas as the major market PD of the year for 2018. It's what other award can we give them? What other first place can they get?
I could tell you.
Oh, what, is there more?
Another one came out today. That's where I thought you were going with.
No. What do you mean one came out today?
Well, today, Barrett Sports Media did the top 20 major market sports stations for 2018. And at number one, 98.5 the Sports
Hub
in Boston.
They're the best at everything in Boston.
And they got the number six one in WEEI, 93.7. They got two of the top six.
EEI was the one where I melted down at the Marconis.
Yeah.
Because we were nominated for Marconi Award. And as you've pointed out on several occasions, five stations nominated for Best Sports Station of the Year. We were one of them. There were three others. The fifth was Rochester here in Minnesota, which carries our programming. So we had a 2 in 5 chance to win and still couldn't pull it off. And they gave WEEI Sports Talk Station, they gave them like three Marconis. By the last one, I'm up at the table in the back screaming, why don't you give them all the Marconis? And people are staring at
one.
Because I had to be pulled away by Abbott and Lisa, our promotions director, because I was just bitter. It's like, why don't you give them all the Marconis? They're not that good. And they gave them every Marconi possible. And I went, not going to believe this. WEEI Boston. Oh, we got another award.
You've gotta be
kidding me. Guess what? It's WEEI Boston. And once they got the third one, I said, well, enough's enough. Who are they paying off? So, best PD, best sports station, world champions in football, world champions in baseball. What more do they need? They got the most famous race in the world, the Boston Marathon foot race.
Yeah.
Where did their...
They got the bean pot going on right now for all their college hockey teams.
Where did their My guess is they had to have a top 20 sports talk show, right? Where did they get number one in that? Major market sports talk show? We know
they're at number one overall.
Yeah, I mean, because we know that our morning show was 12 nationally. PA was 12 for midday. I was 13 for midday. Barrero 16 for afternoon drive. Our PD was 10. Where did we end up as station-wise?
Number 8.
Oh, we were 8 station-wise?
Yeah.
How does that make any sense? Our station's 8, but our PD's 10, and the rest of us are in the teens.
No!
I guess PA and Power Trip is 12s. Who won the best sports? Let me guess. Somebody from Boston won the whole thing. Did they win first place?
For what?
Best sports talk show. They have the best station and the best program director. They must have had the best sports talk show, too, in a major market. Or did somebody edge them out? Did they give it to Boomer and Carton? Oh, no, Carton's in jail now, isn't he? Or no, he's not in jail, but isn't he in trouble? Didn't his partner get in trouble? Like, he had some legal...
Yeah, something happened.
Snafu that I don't remember what it was. He was in some kind of legal imbroglio of some sort. It's just give him everything. You think I'm bitter about that too? Think I'm envious and jealous? Yeah, I am. Were you able to find it, by the way?
No.
Well,
I'm sure in Boston they would have already found it.
Yeah.
With their talent.
Well, of course they would have. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. That's how annoyed I am by the whole thing.
So they have it for each time of the day.
Yeah.
So I could do midday. Do you want to do midday?
Yeah, if you can't find morning, what's midday?
See who your competition is?
Yeah. Let me guess where they finished in the middays.
No, L.A. number one, Dallas number two, number three, Zolak and Bertrand number three.
Zolak. Zolak was a former place kicker for him, wasn't he?
Was he?
Or was he a hockey goalie? My guess, you ever notice this too? Almost all of these shows have two people. One guy can't handle a three-hour talk show on his own. They have two hosts and a sidekick and a producer. Four people. It's you and I every day, Tinnaby.
Yeah.
As PA used to like to say, breaking big rocks into little rocks, day in, day out.
For afternoon, their best is number three.
Oh.
Felger and Maz.
What are they called? On the Hub,
the
Boston.
Sports
Hub. The Sports Hub, Boston. Well, good for them. Boston has everything. We've got nothing. I guess just
well, at least we give our listeners a chance at $1,000.
Well, we do that. Yeah, and we're about to do that here pretty quick. No. Here's one. It says, even though your life is not sports, you have proven yet again to be the smartest sports mind in the country. Defense wins championships. It's a cliche saying it, but I think it's ultimately true. Defense wins championships. That's the quote from Rams defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh. Their defense outplayed us. Common, every sports wonk said it. You don't have to study the All-22 to have a high IQ. Some people are just born smart. Keep it up. And that is exactly what we said. And from all the so-called experts telling us that it's now offense, friends. There's no more defense in the National Football League. Boston's got baked beans. Who's got the best baked beans in the world, Tenneby? Boston. How about beer? Sam Adams. Rock bands? Boston. They've got everything. We've got nothing.
I was reminded of their college hockey team, UMass, number two in the country right now.
Number two in the country.
Yeah.
Where are the Gophers rated?
Not anywhere close to number two.
It's unfortunate. Joe, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to reiterate what you were saying about how the whole idea that offense is going to take over the league obviously just got proven wrong yesterday. And
yep.
Common as usual, you nailed it.
I did.
Give yourself
brilliant.
Thanks for the compliment.
Give yourself a horn.
I may as well. Hold on. Thank you. Anything else, or is that all you got for today?
Well, I also wanted to just point out that it was like watching the Vikings yesterday, if you're a Rams fan. Because, I mean, quarterback looked inept. The offensive line couldn't keep back any pressure. The kicker was missing kicks. The defense held the game up the entire time and finally gave in at the very end. So it was nice getting one more Vikings game before the end of the season.
And both teams had horns on their helmet.
Exactly.
Thanks, Joe. You know, that's a good point. It was very Vikings-like, wasn't it? Offensive ineptitude. There was a phantom call, too, on Sullivan that was key in that winning drive. Was that the game-winning drive where Sullivan got called for holding?
Yeah.
That was not. Even Romo said so. Even Romo said, I don't know if I'd call that. I don't think it was. And again, you can call it on every play.
It's one of those where technically, right, he's got his hands where he's holding them, mm-hmm. but they do that on every single play, and it wasn't like the hole was right next to him.
That's right. It wasn't egregious. It was not good at all. Tanby, should we cue people up? Let's do Common Man program trivia.
Yeah.
So we'll start with that, program trivia. 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. We'll take calls in the order in which they were received. We'll ask you three questions. The answers can be found in the body of the Common Man program. First person to answer them correctly will win a pair of tickets to see Santana with special guest the Doobie Brothers, man, at the XL Energy Center on August 3rd. So start calling now. We'll get you lined up. And Tanby, let's try to put a grand. All we're doing is giving stuff away. Let's try to put a grand in somebody's hand.
It's the National Cash Contest. We've had four listeners of KFAN, four KFAN listeners, have won $1,000 in this contest in the last week or two. This hour, your keyword is taxi. Text that keyword taxi to 200-200 to enter. Standard text messaging and data rates may apply. Text the keyword taxi to 200-200 to enter. Program trivia is next.
The Common Man.
I used to despise you. Then I disliked you. Then I kind of liked you. Now I think you're a pretty good guy, and someday I just might love you.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
Valentine's Day is almost here. Go to our contest page at KFAN.com and register for a shot to win a Diamond Drops of Light pendant and love your melon beanie, thanks to Wedding Day Diamonds.
Does this have a Boston tie to it? Greatest band ever or something?
No.
Number one song of all time. From a Boston-based band.
He's talking about the Dolphins, actually, so.
My favorite Boston-based band would be the Cars. Though I think originally both the late Benjamin Orr and Rick Ocasek met in Cleveland, but I think the band worked out of Boston. That's where they were based. Boston-based. The Cars. I could be wrong, too. You know, I'm only the host of Rock Talk, that's all. LaBelle Neal III tweets the Common Man. We text and talk more than most people know. New England clam chowder. Everything in Boston. You know what somebody else said? Somebody said he's been talking to people in Boston, and the Hub, the radio station that won Program Director of the Year and Station of the Year.
Yeah.
You know what else he said? Everybody doubted him. Everybody in the industry doubted him. And they did, right? I doubted him. I didn't think they had anything left. So there you go. Let's do Common Man program trivia.
Okay.
Here's how it works. Up for grabs is a pair of tickets to see Santana with special guests, the Doobie Brothers, man, at the at the Fuse Box, the XL Energy Center on August 3rd. Common Man program trivia, we're going to ask each caller three questions. Might only be one caller. Caller number one answers all three correctly. Answer is going to be found in the body of the Common Man program from today. He'll win those tickets. We'll start with our first caller. As always, we take the calls in the order in which they were received. Jeremy, you're first. How are you today, me boy?
Hello, I'm pretty good.
Okay, here's question number one. According to the Westgate Superbook, what are the Vikings' odds to win the big game next year? What are the Vikings' odds right now as we speak?
16-1.
Question number two. Which number preposterous statement tournament will it be this year?
10.
Let's see if you can get the final one. What's the name of the preposterous statement utterer who talked about a pitcher chewing his gum confidently?
It was a Myers, Rich, RM, something.
Sorry, Jeremy. So close. I was rooting for him. Unlike, because he's not a dynasty in Common Man Program Tribute.
No.
It was going to be his first win ever, so I was pulling for him. Now, if he was going for the sixth time in the past 13 times we've done the contest, I'd have been rooting against him. What's wrong with that? It's no different than rooting against the Boston Patriots. A team so good they have to name the entire region after him. Happy for him. Russell, question number one. According to Westgate Superbook, what are the Vikings' odds to win the big game next year?
16-1.
What number preposterous statement tournament will it be this year?
Number 10.
Who is the preposterous statement guy who said, who talked about a pitcher chewing his gum confidently?
Thomas Angelo Tanda.
He gave it a shot. At least he gave it a shot, right? Dave, you're up. What are the Vikings' odds next year, according to Westgate Superbook?
16-1.
PST, what number is it?
The 10th.
And then, who talked about a pitcher chewing his gum confidently?
This is a total guess. I'm going to say McCourty.
No. This might be the tough one, Tenneby, even though it would be of the three questions that came as far as order in which these questions came from the program. This would be late in the program before we did it, before we asked the questions. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Marty, what are the Vikings' odds to win the big game next year, according to Westgate?
16-1.
Preposterous statement tournament number?
10.
And then who was talking about a pitcher chewing his gum confidently?
That would be Barrero.
Close but no cigar.
I like the guys who stay on hold even though they know they don't know the answer, yeah. But just to deliver a line like
sure,
that.
Sure, it's too much fun. Pat, what are the odds for the purple according to Westgate?
16-1.
PST number?
10.
Who talked about a pitcher chewing his gum confidently?
Is it Danny Matthews?
No. Incorrect. Tenby, where's the net? That's my favorite part of this whole bit. We're going to the eighth caller already, Tenby. Is this eighth already?
No, a couple of them have dropped off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then whatever number it is, it's Chris. He's next. Chris, Westgate, hey. Vikings odds.
16-1.
PST number?
10.
Who talked about chewing his gum confidently?
Rex Hudler.
You are correct. You are a winner. You're going to go see. I'll put you on hold. Don't hang up. You're going to go see Santana. And along with that, the Doobie Brothers. Man, you get to see them both, so good for you. Someone sent me this, courtesy of the Bradshaw and Brian inbox, and he said a couple of his New England pals sent him this. And it's this big banner with all sorts of sparkly lights and bright colors that says, and I'll read it, it says, Boston champion since 2000. Think about this. 2001, Patriots won the big game. Patriots won the big game in 2003. So 1 year skipped there. So 2002, Boston did not have a world champion. 01, Patriots, nothing in 02. 03, the Patriots. 04, the Red Sox. 04, the Patriots, both years. Then 2005, 2006, they came up empty. Red Sox in 2007, Celtics in 2008, 2009, 2010, nothing. 2011, the Boston Bruins. 2012, no world championship. 2013, Red Sox. 2014, Patriots. Nothing in 2015, world championship with the Patriots in 16, empty in 17, and then in 18 again. Just like in 04, Red Sox and Patriots win both world championships. So there you go. Sad, really. Other side of the break, want to talk a bit about Local 9. That's next. Common Man Program. Fan car, me boy. We'll be right back. Oh, one of those snag bands again, huh? You can just tell by his voice he's a snag himself. He's a sensitive new age guy. Who is he?
This is, well, the band is Linkin Park.
Ah, Linkin Park. Okay. So, I know I'm not going to pay the tease off. There's plenty of time to talk. Twins baseball, they haven't even hit camp yet. But I do have a...
I like how you say snag voice for him, yet your favorite band's the Beatles. McCartney's got a bit of a snag voice, doesn't he?
No, I don't think so. Not anybody that can say, when you get to the bottom and go back to the top of the slide and you stop and you turn and you go for a ride and you get to the bottom and you'll see him again. Helter Skelter! Huh? That's not a snag voice. That's Helter Skelter. Oftentimes, my pal, world's greatest irons player, and I will think to what we'll try to decide which pro golfer we're most like, which of course is preposterous. I get it. I think now I have found the pro golfer that I am most like, and it came to me because of a couple of incidents over the weekend. Tenby, I'm most like Sergio Garcia because I can fly off the handle as good as anybody on a golf course. You've heard the Garcia controversy. He melted down. You know, I thought that winning that green jacket back in, is that two Masters ago now? It wasn't last year. It was the year before, I believe.
I think that's correct.
Finally won his first major. He had been that best player never to win a major. Remember when he and Woods had that, I can't remember where it was. I think it was at a tournament. Was it the PGA Championship in Chicago or something where he was battling Woods and he ran across the fairway and to chase a ball with the youthful exuberance and he jumped up to look and everybody thought, boy, what a guy. This is going to be so many great battles between Sergio and Tiger. These two are going to be like Jack and Arnie going head to head, toe to toe, and it never happened. 14 major championships for Woods, one for Sergio. And I thought, though, after he won, because remember, he was the guy that when he lost, I think, the Open Championship, I think it was in 07, he had a chance to win. He's putting on 18 to win, and he misses. I think he lost in a playoff, I don't recall. And he basically said, well, the golf gods just don't want me to win. He started doing that thing, right? But apparently, because he hasn't had a lot of success since winning that green jacket, apparently over the weekend, was this at Phoenix or was this in
Abu? This is Saudi Arabia.
This was the one that DJ won,
yeah,
right?
Yep. Because they were playing with each other when he had the meltdown.
Okay. Because
you later see Dustin Johnson lining up his putt on the green.
Well, yeah, first of all, he damaged several greens, apparently. Bitter, where was he smashing his club into the green?
I haven't seen any video regarding that.
I think he was smashing his, and he admitted to it and apologized and said it'll never happen again. Then he hated the lie he had in a bunker because he didn't think the bunker was raked properly. Come play with me sometime, Sergio, when you get to a green and someone's huge footprint, their 13 size heel has made a huge hole in my balls in there.
You've got to be kidding me.
But apparently he started just, I didn't see the video, but you did, right?
Yes.
He's basically beating the sand trap to death.
Well, the best is his sand shot, I would take. Like, I would be like, oh, yeah.
Nice, I got it up and out.
The odds of me making the putt aren't great,
right.
But, you know, I'm up and out. I can two-putt from there with a chance of putting it in one. I would actually be happy with it. Yeah, so he takes a sand shot and gets it out, gets it on the green, but not close enough to what he was hoping for.
And then he
just starts thrashing almost like hockey stick style at the...
I've done it. I haven't done it in a long time, but there was a time that was one of my, I liked it actually. It's a great way to relieve tension and pressure. Did he apologize after that?
What I don't understand is everyone to a certain extent, and you and I both know that you and I are very care a little too much sometimes on the golf course. So we've both had a meltdown.
Oh, I've had a meltdown or two. I've had epic meltdowns.
But once you have the meltdown on the course, you kind of stop at that moment, right? You don't just keep damaging the next screen and then damaging the next screen. And
yeah,
then,
you usually
and then
let it go.
Right? I mean, you kind of, there comes a little time period after the meltdown where you're like, I'm really embarrassed at my behavior that I just.
Correct. And then you generally let it go. He was apparently not able to let it go.
So that's what kind of surprises me.
Yeah. And by the way, Ping Guy says it was at Medina. And that, I think, is in Chicago. Is it not? Is Medina?
I believe so.
Not the Medina in Minnesota. We have Medina Country Club here. It used to be Rolling Greens. But that's where Woods and Garcia were battling. Now, there was another golf-related story, Tenneby. And now if I can't find... Oh, here it is. Did you see this one? And again, I love golf. It's my favorite sport, my favorite activity. It's the greatest game in the world. There's no question about it. But, you know, one of the new rules now in golf is you're allowed to leave the pin in the hole when putting.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time forever where you had to remove. If you're off the green and putting from the fringe, you can keep it in. But once the ball is on the putting surface, you have to. You could have a guy tend it, but once the ball gets there, you have to pull it out. That's changed. You can leave it in now. So I see this story. This is the headline. Tiger trying to get over the mental hurdle of leaving the flag.
I always love
the mental hurdle of leaving the flag in. Dateline San Diego.
I did not see this one.
Even with weeks to prepare for one of golf's most notable rule changes, Tiger Woods nearly flinched as he stood over a birdie putt on the 8th green Thursday at the Farmers Insurance Open. This is last week, okay? Woods was facing a ticklish 45-foot birdie attempt, the kind of putt that can easily race past the target even with proper pace. But under the new rules of golf, it's exactly the type of putt where players might opt to leave the flag stick in for some added support. That's just what Woods did, leading to an easy 2-putt, but there was still a sense of uncertainty as he addressed the ball. Here's what he said. Part of me wanted to have Joey down there to tend the flag because I just felt like I might be slapped 2 strokes if this putt happened to go in. So that part, I'm trying to get over that. I'm trying to get used to it. We'll see. It's a mental hurdle, Tenneby, that you wouldn't understand because you've not played golf at that level
before. No, I haven't.
To stand over that putt, knowing you've won 14 majors, knowing you have more money than almost anybody, and you're about, you go, I just don't know if I can do this. My guess is he had trouble pulling the putter back, but that's what he went with. The mental hurdle of.
If it's a mental hurdle, I would just take the flag out.
That's what I would do.
Because I don't think it's that big of a competitive advantage.
I don't think it is, and I don't think it's that much of a hurdle. But there you go. Tell me, why don't we do this? We have one more pair of tickets to give away to see Santana with special guests, the Doobie Brothers, man, at the XL Energy Center August 3rd. Let's give them to the 11th caller.
And by the way, we have them for every day this week. So
cool.
For people that are listening now, you can win some tomorrow, Wednesday, if you can't get
it. Very good. And we'll probably do program trivia again. But because we had this added pair that was just tossed in and we need to get rid of them, let's go. And I'm not going to break somebody's window and put them on their dashboard. So we're going to give them away right now to the 11th caller at 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. 11th caller wins tickets to see Santana with special guest, the Doobie Brothers, man, at the Fuse Box August 3rd. Well, Tenneby Fields phone calls. We'll take this phone call from Challenge the Status Quo guy. Challenge, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling. How are you?
Hey, pretty good, Colin. Hey, thank you. Hey, thank you. Doing a nice job. And
I just
wanted to, you know, give you a shout today and you and Tanner a shout and give you guys credit for doing, being very consistent and very, very solid day in and day out.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Challenge, I know a good friend of yours, Walter, the Secretary of Insight, called in last week and said he would be listening for you on Sunday Sermons with Barrero. Did you get the opportunity to call into Sermons on Sunday?
You bet I did. Yes, I did. And I stuck with the program like always.
Okay. And what did you?
We felt that the presence of C.J. Anderson, Aqib Talib, Wade Phillips would help turn the tide in the favor of the Rams. And basically, we feel that it did. I mean, we 13 points. They got 13 points, right? The Patriots got 13 points.
13 points.
They got 13 points. Now it's up to the offense to get 17 points.
Yeah.
14, 17 points. It's up to the offense to do that. Now, everybody's been touting Sean McVay. They say he's a genius, and they say this is the way to go. But everybody, if you hire a coach, get somebody like that. Well, hey, man, this was his chance to really claim his spot in the sun, and it just didn't, you know. I'll give the Patriots credit for this. They looked at Jared Goff. They had 2 weeks to look at Jared Goff. And I remember when Jared Goff in 2016 was the number one draft pick, and when he was in L.A., Jeff Fisher, he couldn't get going for nothing. It was just a really bad scene that first year. And then he came back last year. He did considerably better. But then they got in the playoff against Atlanta, and Atlanta handled him with not much problem. And then you get to this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jared Goff has the beneficiary of, he has a lot of weapons. He's surrounded by a lot of nice weapons and a tremendous runner. But that runner somehow, Todd Gurley, was not utilized. Now, maybe a friend of mine called me this morning and said, you know what, we believe that Todd Gurley is still injured, considerably injured.
They continued to deny that pre-game, during the game, and post-game. As a matter of fact, McVay said, no, his knee was fine. That's on me. I didn't utilize him enough. But I find that hard to believe.
I do, too. I mean, he is a superlative weapon. And what you saw in that run he made in the second half, and which was called, fortunately, called back.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see what a weapon that he provides. And that didn't get a chance to manifest itself throughout the game. You know, with his running ability from scrimmage, his pass-catching ability, and the play-action thing, that can make the Patriot defense, you know, kind of stall there. You know, look, you know, trying to decipher that. And it just didn't, for some reason, you know, there was no real consistency, you know, with the Rams, you know, no. You know, they really, to me, it looked as though they tried to just, you know, kind of force the ball downfield a lot more than anything else.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to really get the running game going, you had C.J. Anderson, and even if you had a somewhat injured Todd Gurley, there still could have been more emphasis on pounding the ball. And you got to give the Patriots credit for this. They were the more physical team.
Yes, they were.
I hate to say that, but they were. I mean, you know, unfortunately, the Rams were being physical, but then they got a penalty for a guy making a basic defensive play.
Yeah.
And they got a penalty for that. And so that can do things to a defense.
You know, you
say, what do we have to do? I mean, my gosh, this is football.
You know, challenge, I'm glad you brought up the name Wade Phillips, because your friend and mine, Walter, the Secretary of Insight, on Friday, extolled the virtues of Wade Phillips. And I teased earlier today and forgot to pay it off. I said there was an unsung hero in yesterday's game, and he was on the losing team. And I think that's why you brought up Wade Phillips, because he did his job. He took a New England offense that was, what, number four this year in the league?
Yep.
And held them to 13 points. And that touchdown came late.
Yep.
He devised a defensive game plan that was able to keep the legendary Brady in check for the most part. That does fall on the offense not finding a way to score points. Wade Phillips was a genius yesterday.
He did a great. I mean, he clearly did his job. He had a good idea, and they knew it was coming. Just like the secretary pointed out, they knew. The Patriots knew what was coming.
Yes.
They knew that. They knew. And Wade did a tremendous thing, how he disguised the zone, the way he's disguised. He did some disguises yesterday that were absolutely tremendous. Man-to-man zone, he disguised both of those. That was tremendous. I haven't heard much of that. I really have never heard a lot of that before.
I want to ask you, how long do you think this dynasty lasts? I mean, I know it's hard to predict, and look at New England was even in the big game last year and lost, but they were there. But do you think this thing can, how long can this continue? Brady says he wants to play to 45. I don't doubt that he can, the way they protect quarterbacks now, how he keeps himself in shape. Do you think it's still New England and then the rest of the league for the foreseeable future?
Well, you know, a friend of mine, I have a friend of mine in St. Paul. We do a lot of conversing. And he called me this morning, and he said, you know, they've already, the Patriots have already got 5 wins locked in next year. When you've got, you've got Buffalo, got a rookie quarterback, that's 2 wins. You got the Jets, they got a rookie quarterback, that's 2 wins. A guy, I think the Jets got a guy that shouldn't even be playing. I don't even think he should be playing. And then you got Miami. Well, they usually spit with Miami. Miami usually kind of gets them a tough go down in Miami.
Right.
But that's 5 wins that they're going to get in their, within their division. That's 5 wins. That's Bad Man, Jose Quintero, Kenny J, George Scap, Iron Gadaski. Those are all wins.
Yeah.
Those are all wins. And so now all they got to do with their remaining 11 games, just get, you know, find a way to get, you know, 6 wins.
Yeah,
and they got all of a sudden they got 11 win season right off the bat, so they got 5 wins already.
Yeah,
so that's, I mean that's unfortunate, but that's, you know, and that's, hey, you know, that we talked about this morning when you had Bill Walsh and Bud Grant and George Siepert, Tom Landry, Bill Parcells. You see, you had a balance that we don't have now because we don't have guys like that anymore.
That's right. That's exactly right.
We don't have it no more. You know, so hey.
Challenge.
We're gonna keep working on things. We're gonna keep studying. Keep working on things. I'm gonna give my attention to my club, the Utah Jazz. Go, Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors, F.A. Udo. Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks. That's Challenge the Status Quo guy, good friend of Walter, the Secretary of Insight. Always good to hear from Challenge. And Tenneby, I really do believe that. I mean, Wade Phillips, he did his job because you know you got, remember and who's the defensive court? I mean, I know it's, you know, Belichick's, I guess. He's basically the defensive coordinator,
yeah.
Or not. But, so, you know, hats off to him, obviously. But Wade Phillips did what he had to do. I mean, the only guy they had any real kind of problems with was
Edelman.
Edelman. Edelman, I'm sorry. Edelman, not Edelman. Was Edelman.
Brilliant.
And, you know, Gronk on a couple of plays, including the big 27-yarder. But they did a good job of boxing up the running game. They kept Brady in check. They put a lot of pressure on Brady, so
they made Brady look like a pretty mediocre quarterback.
Yeah, he looked like
Kirk Cousins.
He looked like Kirk Cousins. He really did. And that leads us in, you know, as we get ready to wrap up here and turn it over to Big Ticket, we will start talking. You know, now it starts. It's the first day of the next season. I mean, I don't know. Is there an official day where they say the first day of the 20? I think they actually have like an official day. They say the new season starts now, but it's underway, and the Vikings have. Boy, remember going into this at this time last year, we were thinking we were so close. It's unfinished business. Then they went out and got the QB. Some people more excited than others. You get Sheldon Richardson, and people are thinking, we're headed back, and then we saw what happened. It'll be interesting to see what people think as we start collecting their thoughts over the next few weeks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You too. Rosen will rejoin us again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your day. We're back tomorrow at noon. Hang around. Dan Barrero and JG are next right here on The Fan.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Listen back to a podcast of today's show. Visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.